to Stand Up and Stand Out. I'm your host, Nikki Green. Stand Up and Stand Out is more than a podcast. It's a call to action. And no, I don't mean in that cutesy CTA buzzword type of way. Are you tired of misogynistic bosses ruining your workday? Did you dream of using your creative energy for good instead of corporate evil and greed? Do you believe it's time to take back our work lives so they're more in tune with ourselves and our personal lives? Then this educational podcast is for you. We're kicking off our inaugural episode of Stand Up and Stand Out. I'm co-hosting today with the amazing, the talented, and my good friend, Dr. Matt James. Thanks for joining us today. Dr. Matt James is an expert on organizational effectiveness. And since we're talking about bad bosses today, seems like a great topic to start with. Hey, Matt, welcome aboard.
Hey, Nikki. Thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here. This is definitely a topic that's close to my heart. Can't wait to just jump in.
I think pretty much anybody can relate to this topic, no matter what industry you're in. I think everyone's had a good spectrum of good and bad bosses. And when they get the bad ones, they're wondering what to do. And I'd like to focus this podcast on giving them some insights.
If you haven't experienced it, you've probably at least heard that, you know, according to the recent Gallup poll, for example, they found that the number one reason people are leaving jobs are because of bad bosses, crappy boss syndrome. That's higher than benefits, salary, work-life balance. And a couple of other organizations have done some studies around this too. Pepperdine University, interesting study coming out of Pepperdine. They tried to quantify what bad bosses cost organizations annually. They used the metric of replacing a person in your workforce at about 1.5 times that person's salary. Wow. And so if you multiply that over how many people change jobs in a year, you can see quickly that these bad bosses are having an effect on the bottom line that exceeds billions of dollars annually. It's amazing. And it's amazing that it still is allowed. And then there's just the physical and the mental impact. There was a study out of the Mayo Clinic, and they estimate that work-related stress, which comes from a bad boss, right, results in about $190 billion in the U.S. alone in unnecessary healthcare-related expenses annually. And in this article, their CEO, Barry Wimmiller, I think is how you say it, said that your boss, your supervisor, has more impact and is more important to your state of mental and physical health than your own primary physician. Wow. So this is a big deal, and it seems like organizations just let people get away with it. So the whole purpose of this model that I want to share with you today and your listeners is to provide them with a way to identify what the types of bad bosses are and how to recognize those behaviors in the organization, and then give everybody some tips on how to manage those relationships.
And if you think about it, companies are always worried about the cost of healthcare. And if you can actually attribute that the employees are suffering and having to use more of those healthcare services because of these bad bosses that they're employing, there's so many more added costs, even beyond replacing the employee, which again takes time and productivity out of the entire business. And I think there's a lot of articles out too about just the additional impact of COVID. It was one thing when you were in the office all the time and you were seeing them every day, and either you built up a tolerance, I guess, to that behavior, or it was actually exacerbated because you were there next to them all the time. And I'm curious to see, as people go back to work, when you do have to go see them again, is there going to be a little bit of PTSD or something equivalent where they're actually afraid to go back to work? If they have to deal with them on a daily basis, they might've been able to sort of hide out at home and do some work without that daily distraction.
Yeah, safe to say a huge adjustment for anybody who's going to be coming back in and spending time face-to-face with people. The good news is these bad bosses give us some indicators along the way of what type of bad boss they are, if we're paying attention and we're looking for those signs. And then we can shift our approach in how we manage our relationship with them that might produce at least save some of our mental sanity and get us through until we don't have to work with them anymore. Or it might even turn the entire relationship around. That's what I'm really hoping for here.
Why don't you share the model with us and we can talk through those different categorizations? I think that's it. And we all have to find that balance for ourselves, right? Is that sometimes you meet someone and you just don't get off on the right foot and it takes some time to build that relationship. Maybe you or they or both of you guys are having other things going on in life besides work and you need to have time and give it a little bit of patience. So I think some of these models and these worksheets are for those kind of situations to try to help people actually work through the relationship when it hasn't gotten to the point where we might need to step apart.
This model is really built on two dynamics that are observable in behavior when it comes to our interactions with anybody, not just bad bosses, but with anybody. One is your level of engagement. The Gallup organization do engagement studies annually, and we're probably familiar with the impact of high engagement versus low engagement and what that means to companies and productivity, but the same applies with bosses. Is your boss exhibiting behavior that is high engagement, an assertive boss that's very pushing kind of energy versus a boss who is showing behaviors that are more like disengaged or just has given up or has quit? They still show up every day, but they don't bring much of themselves to the party.
Right. Yeah.
The other axis here is around emotional intelligence. Now, we could probably do a whole podcast on emotional intelligence.
That one alone.
Coming up because there's books and books written about this. But at a high level, when it comes to your boss, emotional intelligence really is about, are you aware of how you come across to other people and how do you manage your own behavior? It's really easy to tell what kind of bad boss you have because they're so outward and open about it. They're very over on this violent side, big gestures, loud voice, pointing fingers, that kind of emotional intelligence is an easy sign for us to tell which kind of boss we might be dealing with. Their opposites are the people who are more controlled, who have the poker face every time. You just don't really know where you stand with them because they keep everything so close to the vest. So what you come up with is you've got one type that is very openly hostile. Their high engagement, very characterized as assertive, even violent when it comes to emotional intelligence. They like to create an environment of fear. Call that person the bully. There's another type of bad boss that is high in engagement, but they tend to keep things to themselves, a little bit more buttoned up, highly controlled emotionally. I call that the politician. There is another highly controlled person, but this person, in contrast to the politician, has given up. They're disengaged. What's the point? I can't really get anything done here, so I just go along. I call that the nice guy, and I use that term gender neutral. It could also be nice girl, nice guy type of boss. I think the one that does the most damage in organizations is the one that's hard to talk about. It's the one who is also very hostile, aggressive, emotional. When it comes to that emotional intelligence, they just don't have it. They just tear through the organization and leave a wake of dead bodies. And at the same time, they're really disengaged. And disengaged, not from the work, but disengaged from like the mission of the company. If the mission is to take care of patients or is to provide great customer service, they are disconnected. Their only mission is their mission. And if you're not on board with that, then you have just incurred the wrath of the evil genius. Because I think they have the most negative impact on people, our mental health, performance, and they get away with it.
Well, and it's that incongruous way. In the evil genius one, I always want to hear the evil laugh, like the whoa, you know?
As I was writing some of this down, I did the same thing. I thought about the James Bond, Dr. Evil kind of guy who's in his evil lair. And he's like kind of very powerful and malicious and has malicious intent. But is also in his cave and stays isolated from the rest of the population.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think, like you said, those ones are also quite toxic because it's an incongruous way of dealing with things, right? Like I think everyone else is on the page of where the company is going. So you can generally understand and try to align to the goals because it's going to be where the company is going. But this evil genius one usually has their own agenda about their own career and everyone else is sort of secondary. And that's where you start to have that conflict of sometimes they're trying to get you to do things, which you know is not right from an overall perspective.
I think the first part of trying to turn your relationships around with a bad boss is recognizing course, when you're dealing with somebody. And like sometimes they might be pretty good to work with, but then they have their bad hair day. They show up and they're in definitely one of these four quadrants. And I start with the bully because I think they're not only are they just so easy to recognize. The bully is loud. You can tell when they walk into the building or the office because you can hear them coming along. You can hear the noise whenever they're on that conference call or speakerphone. They're usually yelling in their office. I mean, they're very loud. And oftentimes that loudness can go a little too far and become verbally abusive. They'll just say things. There's like that emotional intelligence where there's no filter. It just comes out. And they like to punish people to make an example of them just so that to show people how much power they have. But don't ever question me because I'm the bully.
They've played sports or they're a little bit, you know, more muscular or bigger, or they have a large stature or a large personality at the very least. And so I think that is some of that behavior. And in some cases, I think they have like the coach hat on when they're actually over the line and verbally abusive to the employees.
A lot of times it's that low emotional intelligence that they just don't know how they're coming across.
Exactly.
So they tend to get themselves into a lot of trouble along the way, but they cause a lot of damage as they go. The good and bad about the bully is that it's easy to recognize them. You tend to know if somebody's in your right up in your grill and they're chewing you up one side and down the other. It does not feel good. This is happening. You probably are dealing with the bully, which is a lot different than your experience dealing with the politician. So this person, highly engaged too, definitely pushing their own agenda, wants power and control, but they come across as a little more aloof, like closed down, hard to read. In fact, I think of a boss that I had who always said such great things about you in public that it led me to believe that I was doing a great job and everything was great. With the politician, even though they might be doing that outwardly,
they
have some hidden agenda. Now, the politician is a lot different because you're still dealing with somebody who's highly assertive, highly engaged. They want things to go their way. They're used to being in power and having control, but they don't really show it because they're more emotionally controlled. So this gives you that person who, it's hard to read in public. It was like a whole different person. Externally misleading or even pleasant, while underneath, they're very cold, uncaring. They can be very calculating to get their own way, for promoting their own hidden agenda.
So I had one like that, and I had the same situation happen where I thought, hey, this is a great guy. I think he's doing a lot of stuff for me. I felt like he was really championing me in my career. And then he was about to move into a new role. We didn't know that yet. And all of a sudden I fell out of favor and he started favoring two other people. Well, that's because he wanted to bring those two people with him. So again, like some of the good thing about the politician is if you do align well with them, they'll keep you going with them through their agenda. But if all of a sudden that's not the right lineup, all of a sudden you're on the bench again. And you're like, what happened? I'm doing the same job, right?
What happened? I thought I was in your good graces. It turns out I didn't even know what your agenda was. Okay. If you're dealing with somebody who is a little harder to read, a little more emotionally controlled, or who's always just so super friendly and never see them ever show any kind of chink in their armor, you might be dealing with the savvy politician boss. Mm-hmm. Now there's another one that's very emotionally controlled, but it's a little different. Nice guy, nice girl. It's controlled in that a lot of times this boss is so nice and it's because they've just given up. You know, they're emotionally unavailable. They tend to be unsupportive of new ideas or anything that you bring to them that might be a process improvement, because they know that they're going to be the ones who need to champion your idea and they're going to have to go fight for it. And oh my gosh, I always get my teeth kicked in every time I do. So they are so adverse to that kind of conflict that they just never back you up. That's the jellyfish boss.
Like the lack of spine. And another Gallup poll that I was checking into regarding this, 1 in 3 employees just don't trust their leadership. And this is a lot of why, is that these people just aren't giving them the support that they need. And the nice guy is almost like the absent manager. They're just not even there, almost invisible. right? Yeah. And that's almost more frustrating, especially when you first start your career, because you need your manager so much. You have so many questions and there's so much you're trying to learn. If you don't have someone to go to that either cares or is actually giving you guidance, then your career is going to struggle along with theirs.
They tend to have a hard time giving you that constructive feedback that you need to change directions or just modify as you go so that you can be successful. I had a nice guy boss and easiest guy to get along with. And it just used to make me cringe every time I saw him pack up his little notebook and head off to the boardroom for a meeting. Because I knew that as soon as that meeting was over, he was going to need emotional support from me. And whatever I was working on, now we're going to have to start change focus, even if it's just for a day, and start working on that, because he could never stand up to them to remind them, hey, if we're going to make a change like this, then something's got to give. We're either going to have to stop work on this so we can work on this, or we can continue to work on the strategy that you've already given us and it's well underway. But he would never draw those lines and have those fights. That's a nice guy.
And maybe if you're further along in your career and you're a little more self-sufficient, then that type of boss maybe isn't as detrimental to you. Like if you have a team of people or you already know what your project is and you're working on it and they're not like in your business all the time. I think it's really, those are the worst bosses for new people just coming out of school and just getting their career started, because you don't know what to do, right? And if they don't know what to do, then you're both lost and no one's going anywhere.
You need somebody to have your back. I think the one that is the most cringeworthy of all bad bosses is the evil genius. So how do you know you got an evil genius? Here they are, they're disengaged. So you don't get a lot of community spirit, organizational alignment. They're not here for the patient. They're not here for the customer. They're not here for the internal customer, depending on what your vision or mission might be. They're there for one thing and one thing only, and that's themselves. And so any ideas that you might bring forward to this person, process improvements, new projects, don't be surprised if you hear things like, that'll never work.
Yeah.
It'll never work because it's not part of their world. It's not part of their idea. If it was their idea, it would probably work. The evil genius, you're either with them or without them. If you're against them, it's not even if you're against them, it's if they perceive that you're not on board with whatever their evil
planning, yeah,
which is usually just to move them up through the organization, then you will be perceived as someone who needs to be removed, needs to be cut out. They'll transfer you somewhere else. They'll take away your authority. They'll stop inviting you to meetings, or they'll get rid of you for no cause.
Yeah.
And again, it's just a perception. You may have been trying to help, but the evil genius,
they have their own agenda and you don't always know what it is. I think that's the harder part, is that there's so much subterfuge going on with these types of bosses that sometimes you think you're doing the right thing because it aligns, like we said, with company goals, but then they have obviously something else they're trying to accomplish, which may or may not align with the company goals. And the second they perceive you as going against them, then you're going to start having problems that you didn't even know were going to be there.
You are in their way, just heaven help you. I had a boss at the last organization I worked with. She was actually higher in the organization, like boss's boss. And in the first year, I got to watch her systematically, diabolically take credit for all the work that he and his team were doing while strategically discrediting him.
Wow.
To the rest of the organization so that he could be removed, which he was, and she could then be promoted to the VP position and take over both teams.
Yeah.
That's the evil genius.
That's definitely the
like, oh, yeah.
And I feel like there's a lot of those folks at the top just like that, right? Like that they get to a point where they have this like domain and they want to keep it and keep growing their kingdom and to hell with everybody else around them.
You probably already know what kind of boss you're dealing with. If you're listening to this podcast and you're like, oh yeah, the nice guy, that's for sure. That's my boss right now. And never stands up for me. Or, oh my gosh, the bully. Yeah, anything sets them off. You don't want to be in there because they'll start yelling and screaming. What do we do about it? Once you recognize where they're coming from, how can you respond in a way that gives you more, it just helps you with the relationship, helps you to turn that relationship around
You're probably spending more time with this boss than you are potentially with your spouse or someone in your family. You're at work a lot, and this person controls your livelihood. First and foremost, it's always important, just try to be a good employee. If you screw up, take accountability and step in. But if you have these specific situations, I think there's a few ways we can help folks try to start addressing them.
Yeah, here's a couple of tips. I mean, and one of my favorites is the bully, because they're so easy to recognize. These guys tend to, even though they tend to can be the big, loud, alpha type of personality, they're about the softest touches, big cream puffs when it comes right down to it. Because all they really want is to look good. And all you have to do is help them to do that. And most of the bullies, all they're really interested in is getting something done. They just want to show results. So beat them to the punch. And if you know that there's a report that's coming up, or there's some assessment that you need to get on, or there's some new customer that you need to call on, before they even trigger and start the yelling and screaming, beat them to the punch, get out, see that customer. Go talk to that patient group, go write the report and submit it to them early. They're about the easiest ones to get along with, because as long as you're doing that, they got nothing to complain about.
There's not a lot of drama with those guys, right? They really are just results oriented. And this is the great one where, yes, for the most part, you can usually just do your job and do it early if you can. We even go above and beyond, which again is good for your career. So it's not like you're going against something that's genuine for you, but you can tackle it sort of head on. I think with those guys, it's a little bit easier.
Right. And when you do that, guess what? Now you've got a bully as an ally, which means if things start slowing down for you and you're not getting the results you need in different areas, you can send your bully boss over there to talk to those people. And be like, oh, no, wait, we'll give you what you want. Here's the thing you need to know about bullies too. They make enemies everywhere. They don't choose like the politician does. There's no savvy. There's no filter. When it comes, they'll take on the CEO of the company if they're in a triggered mode. And so as a result, they make enemies with not only you, their direct reports, but their peers, higher ups in the organization. And with the bully, a lot of times it's just surviving long enough to until somebody above them takes them out. Now, the politician is not that, it doesn't work quite the same way, because a politician doesn't take on the CEOs. It's not so outward, but it's more controlled when it comes to emotional intelligence. So it goes back to, if you want to survive with a politician, you realize you've got somebody who's coming from this space, at all costs, learn what that agenda is. Your job is to find out what is the true agenda. You don't just think you're doing a good job because they're saying it, because these are the guys who will say really nice things to you until the time that you need something, and then boom, they're not there for you.
And they disappear like a ghost.
And so the more we can be proactive in finding out what that true agenda is, and sometimes it's going right to them and talking, but a lot of times, because they're so controlled, you don't get anywhere with them.
There's still going to be a facade that's not going to let you in. And then what do you do?
You find somebody else in the organization that knows what the agenda is. Mm-hmm. I worked for a guy who was a little hard to read sometimes, but he had an assistant who, do you think she knew the agenda? Think she knew what the truth was? Do you think she knew what he was out to really accomplish? Oh yeah. So getting in good with her was key, because she could tell me what, hey, here's what I was thinking to present. Is this what he's really looking for? And she'd say, well, here's what he's really trying to accomplish with all this.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. So I don't want to waste my time
side scoop.
Get the right thing to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Power to the admins, man. Those are always the best.
Yeah. Somebody knows what their real agenda is. You said earlier too, this is a person that if you do it right, it can actually be beneficial to you. Mm-hmm. Because they tend to ride the wave. They tend to get promoted and moved on to new projects. And if you've done it well, you can ride that tide with them.
Yeah, because I think similar to the bully, they do expect results, right? And I don't think they want to put in the effort themselves as well. So if they find good people, they're really good at keeping that network connected. So that way they continue to be successful, however they're navigating this agenda.
A couple of tips, things that might help from someone who has some scar tissue to share.
From one of these, yeah.
Learn from where we've been. The next one, of course, is the nice guy. Now, this is like completely different approach is called for than the bully or the politician. They see people as a source of emotional support. These are the people that, again, the jellyfish, the spineless, their whole day is going into meetings because they're a boss, mm-hmm. and usually getting fired at, missiles, arrows, slings all day long, and they just take them.
Yeah.
And when they leave those meetings, they're going to come back and they're going to need a shoulder to cry on. I told you about my one boss. I mean, I really love the guy, but yeah, he would come back from these meetings. Instead of feeling victorious, he'd feel beat up and he just needed to come into my office and I needed to be there for him.
Yeah.
Even though that took me away from my work and kind of a little emotionally draining for me, but that was an important part of the relationship, keeping that alive, is close it up, turn off email, give him your attention and just let him know you understand. And in the same time, because you know that this person's not going to be able to do much for you, they don't have the command, the respect in the organization. If you are ready to start moving up and taking on bigger projects or promotions, start working on your own partnerships and networks outside of your relationship with your nice guy boss.
To not rely on the boss entirely. And I think that's almost good advice for all of them, but especially in that case, my experience, especially with one nice guy boss. And generally the pattern I saw with them is these were people that got reorged all the time. It was like, oh, they weren't that great in this department, let's dump them over here. Oh, they're not that great in this department, let's dump them over here. And because they had no control and they didn't really voice their opinions, they went with the flow all the time. And then they ended up unhappy with wherever they were stuck, right? And not invested in the team or themselves. They got checked out. But I think that building your own alliances and partnerships, that network, is so important for your career across the board that should be table stakes, but especially in this case, because that guy's not going to vote for you.
Recognize what they can and can't do. And you're not going to get a lot here other than just a real approachable person, but they're not going to fight any battles for you. So start finding your champions and building relationships with your champions so they're there when you need them. The hardest one, the one that has the most negative impact on people's careers, and they have no problem just being so callous that they'll just ruin a person's family life, career, income, ability. Like, they don't care.
Yeah.
Because you were an obstacle to me. So when it comes to the evil genius, a little bit like the politician, you got to find out what their hidden motives and intents are. It's going to be hard because of that low engagement. Mm-hmm. Again, there are people around them that will help you to find out what are the rules to the game, what are they trying to accomplish, and so that I can play the right game and play it as a game when it comes to the evil genius.
And don't get too emotionally attached to yourself, because you never know where it's going to turn. So I think this is another one where, even again, having your own alliances and partnerships is important. So that way, if things go south with him, you have a way out.
I had mentioned my evil genius boss. It's that perception that as soon as somebody on the team in the department wasn't supporting her evil plan, that person was gone. And it would happen so quickly that you'd be like, what happened next time we get together in a meeting, where is so-and-so? Oh, you didn't hear Looney, took him out.
Even that kind of language, right? It's like they took him out.
I learned real quickly in my first year, she must see you as someone who's on board with her evil plans. Where it made sense, I had to feign that loyalty, pretend that I'm going in the same direction as her, even though I totally disagree with the way that she's going. This is an evil genius.
You just feel the ego like growing in the room, like every time.
Oh, and honestly, these are the people that, as hard as you try, you're never going to know where you stand with them. If something happens outside of the organization, some pandemic happens or just revenues are softening, one day you might think you're in good shape, good to go, you're one of the good guys, and the next day you're gone and you don't even know why.
Yeah.
So have an exit plan. Create your exfil so that you have money saved if you find yourself in that situation, relationships that you can go to try and get support when you need them. Just create your exit plan and then work your plan.
And I think one of the things we've said too, if you're trying to work through these relationships, sometimes even though this type of personality may be really difficult for one person, it may not be that bad for somebody else. It depends on your experience and your growing up, right? And it's like, oh, hey, my dad was passive aggressive, so I know how to deal with the politician boss. Or because my dad was like that, I don't like dealing with it. It's a trigger for me. And I don't want to have that in my work life. Or I made the coach reference on the bully one. If you played sports, maybe that kind of coaching type of boss who may be a little more loud and in your, you might be used to it. You're like, yeah, my coach yelled at me all the time, but I was in the right position and I won a lot of awards. So you have to find that thing that works for you and aligns to what you're going to be comfortable with in life. But it's important, I think, to recognize them and know that all bosses aren't equal. It's not just about education and training and experience. This is that personality fit that's really important, I think, to have a good working relationship and build a team, because work is very rarely by yourself. So you got to come together somehow and start building that together.
Yeah, what I'm hearing you say is, in the final analysis, be true to yourself.
Always.
If you've tried and you can't work it out with them, do what you got to do to stay healthy. Do what you got to do to take care of yourself and honor yourself.
Absolutely. And I think that's how I started on this journey. And people can read about it all in my book, I Laugh in the Face of Danger, now available on Amazon. It was just yet another one of these types of bosses. And it was just one time too many, right? Like in the beginning of my career, I put up with it, but I learned from it. And I was always, well, I'm learning and I want to be a boss. I like this person's style. I'm going to be like that, or I really don't like that person's style. I'm not going to do that when I become a manager. So there is a learning process a little bit as you start dealing with people, but at some point you get to your career and you go, no, I know who I am and what I want to accomplish. And I think too often in business and just in general that we've allowed people to have these bad behaviors for way too long. And because employees stay too long in such an abusive relationship that controls your money, which therefore controls the roof over your head, the food on your plate, your healthcare, so many parts of your life that, you know, you stay there because you feel trapped. And I don't want people to feel trapped. I want people to feel empowered. Take control of your career, take control of your life, take control, especially of your finances, have a plan. And again, sometimes you get stuck in these situations and you can't deal with it at the minute, but make a plan, get your network together, get your finances together and make a plan. And sometimes that alone will help the stress come down. As you say, oh, okay, well, I know this person is going to be hiring in 6 months. I'm going to keep talking to them. And then hopefully I can move into that department. Sometimes those things as well will help dissipate some of the day-to-day stress of like, oh my God, I have to come in and deal with this person yet again.
Yeah, we can't forget about all the things that you can do to keep your own mental health and physical health outside of the organization. Make sure you're getting plenty of rest and exercise, and you have people you can talk to and all that type of thing too. And in closing, like last thing I would say is, if you are a leader, if you're watching this podcast, if it's made its way to you and you are a leader and you've heard these messages about the impact that bad bosses have and what it's costing your organization, you want to do something about it, there are things that you can do. You could start by surveying your workforce to find out where the bad bosses are hiding out, whether they're assertive or they're disengaged. This needs to be owned by operational executives and needs to be led by operational executives all the way through, because they're the ones who role model what the right behaviors are and what is not tolerated.
Yeah, I think that's such an important aspect.
Yeah, I agree with you completely.
Great talking to you, Matt. I think we've done a great job covering all these topics, and I'm sure folks may have other questions or other comments, and we're going to put together some worksheets and we'll add them into the show notes so that anybody listening can go back in and at any time try to start working through some of these activities on your own and try to improve that relationship with that boss. So thank you so much, Dr. Matt James, everybody. He's been a fabulous guest, and hopefully we'll have him on a lot more of our podcasts in the future. This has been Stand Up and Stand Out. I'm Nikki Green, your host, and we'll